This is Telling Tales with Ms. G here at 104.3 in Juneau, and I have special guests here in the studio, and I'm very, very excited. I have Mr. Bill Merck and Mr. Nathan Block, and they are two of Juneau's finest poets. Say hi, guys.
Good evening.
Hello.
Thanks for having us here.
I'm very happy to have you here. We are actually all getting together to give some insight to the fact that there is a Grand Slam going to be happening soon on the 20th, on Friday the 20th, which is next week, right?
This Friday.
Yeah,
and
oh,
it's actually not a Grand Slam. It's just it's an open mic poetry slam.
Okay.
So the winner of this particular event would qualify for an invitation to the Grand Slam next October.
See, I've been going to the poetry slams, and I've been calling a lot of them Grand Slams because they're so grand.
I appreciate that. We think pretty highly of them ourselves.
That's so awesome.
I know, and I really like the theme of this one. This one is all about a tribute to, the community, but also it's a tribute to some of the poems and poets who have, inspired you guys. Is that right?
That is correct.
Absolutely.
Oh, great.
Absolutely.
So hopefully we'll hear a little bit of both tonight, maybe, or at least we'll hear you talking about some of your poets and your favorite poets and how they've inspired you. Right?
Sounds great. Yeah.
Okay. So this is going to be a little different than our usual Telling Tales night. I won't be reading a short story, but we'll hear a lot of little short stories in the way of poems. And I myself will even read an inspired poem, something that inspired me to, be me and get on the radio. So first of all, I wanted to ask each of you, Bill, starting with you, how did you get started writing poetry?
Oh, gosh. Like a lot of folks, it was just a lot of reading and a lot of spare time in high school. I was just talking with Nathan about this a little bit earlier. We were talking about getting started. When you're in high school, you do a lot of reading. Some of us start writing song lyrics. I did the same thing. Mm-hmm. I wrote the same song lyrics for the same girls, and then you start reading and it takes you down a different road. And that's how it worked for me. It's just kind of doing
that. Listening tonight.
They're not. Trust me, they're not. But it was a lot of time just reading various authors, and you'd get a thought or an image in your head, and you just start writing, and none of it's any good when you're 16, 17 years old. In my case, none of it was any good when I was 16 or 17. But it's just something to build on.
So wow.
That was my humble beginning.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, were you actually playing an instrument then?
No, I am not musically inclined.
I see, but you were lyrically inclined.
Lyrics have always caught my attention, absolutely.
Wow, yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah. That's really amazing. What about you, Nathan?
Started in junior high school trying to get girls, I guess, even though I never showed them to girls.
That was going to be my next question. Anybody ever read these to these girls?
Ooh, that's a good one. I probably would slip them in their locker.
Oh.
And then that was about it. Run away and giggle.
Yeah,
did you ever watch the end result of them finding
it? Sometimes I'd sit back and pretend I was grabbing books out of my locker.
Nice.
See what they're doing.
Nice.
Watch them read it,
That's pretty good. So you could be a spy and a poet. That's pretty good. Yeah. Nice. What about you, Belle? Did you read any to them?
No, but when they were published in junior high school literary magazines, such as they are in junior high school, we would talk about it. Yeah, we would talk about it after.
Well,
sometimes they
knew
they were about them. Sometimes they didn't, which was probably just as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah, that's wonderful. So, So apart from there being, I've seen both of you perform, and I hope that my listeners have actually had occasion to watch you both perform. So when I got the chance to ask you if you would perform on the show, I was very excited. Now, we have two of Nathan's poems that I really want to share with the audience. And he was gracious enough to give some of his time last night and come in. And so they're ready to go. And I'd like to play them. But I first want to – the first one up is called The Ominous Zoologist.
That's correct.
Yes. And so I want you to, if you want to give a synopsis now of what it's like, or would you like to give it after they hear it?
That's on you. This is your show, Mama.
Okay, I say I liked finding out after.
Okay.
So I will go ahead and play this, and I'd like you to tell everybody about it. Okay. So we're gonna hear one of Nathan's amazing poems right now. It's called "The Ominous Zoologist" by Nathan Block.
An ominous zoologist, a monstrous rhinoceros, holding innocently ostracized ostriches, legs bound for ransom as hostages. It's very preposterous to imagine this hypothesis being idolized by the populace. This form of dominance will never be titled marvelous. The face of the rhinoceros is no longer anonymous. However, this act of godlessness became a sarcophagus to conduct reconnaissance, where belief in oneself is an innocent experience of consciousness.
Don't worry. So, Mr. Nathan Block, that was your poem, The Ominous Zoologist. Can you give us a little, whatever you'd like to tell us about your poem?
Well, first, thanks. I'm honored that you play my poem. That's awesome. I wrote that poem while I was in jail. The title came afterwards. I thought of a happy thing and a sad thing.
Okay.
I put them together. I thought about... the zoologist just has to love their job. I mean, what is not great about working in a zoo? And then, the other word just came along one day. I just woke up. it was basically my struggle with this, we call it in jail, beast mode.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to be the most dominant male figure in society and being able to hurt other people, like ostracize them and tie them up. And, as reflection of my crime that I will forever be in debt for,
okay,
and hold responsibility to the public to show them that I'm moving on,
right,
from this scene in my life. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
And then I just wrote it. Yeah, I just wrote it one day. It was the first thing I wrote in jail, and it actually took me about a year to get it down.
Really?
Yeah. I was dealing with a lot of concepts, and the poem originally was probably about 4 or 5 pages long, and I'm like, nah, I'll just get it down to 3 lines, 4 lines, 6 lines, 20 lines. No, come on, go back down to 3. And that was the end product, yeah.
Wow. Did it help to write when you were in jail?
It did, until people would see me writing and then come slap me in the back of the head like I was acting like a choice word placed there.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah. And so I kind of had to hide writing for a little bit. And then finally I started participating in the Flying University, and I was actually encouraged to write and share my writing, and it was just awesome. I've never had that type of atmosphere before.
Well, that's great. Now, yeah, Talk about the Flying University. Tell them what that is, just a little bit.
The Flying University, there's so many things I want to say. I'll probably get bleeped out because it's just an awesome course.
I mean,
it's just something that's really helping inmates understand their ethical responsibility for the other in a Levinasian sense. I mean, it's just awesome.
Wow.
We're learning more about what we can do after the jail and outside of the jail while in the jail that most people don't really want to recognize. They just shun the jail off and close an eye to it like it doesn't exist. And people who, like Saul Neely, who started it, coming into the university and helping us, I mean, we'll be forever grateful for that.
Wow. Well, that sounds wonderful. And your poems that I've read and heard you actually perform live, I can tell you definitely have a gift.
Thank you.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you. I get nervous. I'm so nervous right now.
You can't tell. I told you it was a conversation.
Let's just chill out.
You're just chilling, yes.
One of the talents I really appreciate about Nathan is his ability to just recite from memory. He and I were discussing that a little bit earlier, and it's a talent I really appreciate. It's not something I'm capable of doing right now in where I'm at in my life, but I just think that lends such authenticity to the work and really gives you a chance to kind of take it directions where you may not have thought it was going to go originally, which I think is great. That freestyling association, word play.
Yeah.
Is fabulous, and I really appreciate what you do with that. So thank you for that.
Awesome.
Yes, I was definitely impressed last night when you were speaking, and you said, I have some in my head. And I said, okay, let's do it. And he did, and I was very impressed by that. Yes, I have trouble remembering, you know, phone numbers sometimes. So it's like amazing you remember a whole poem. That's awesome
because I'll remember whole poems, but I'm the same way. I'll like, what was her name? Yeah. I really forgot her name. I'll write a poem about it and remember.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Funny. That's great. So, Bill, are you ready to read a poem?
Absolutely.
Oh, wonderful.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
I can do that.
Okay.
I read this one before. It was written in September, but it seems to get a pretty welcome response when I read it. So I apologize to those who've heard this before, but I'm going to read it anyway.
Good.
So, in a far corner of the room, the poem waits, considering its apologies. For its appearance, letters scratched against a broken sky, thin spruce limbs waving. For its tardiness, late as it arrived, fearful, skulking home, cap brim pulled over its eyes, shoes whispering through a neighborhood blanketed in dream. For its apparent weariness, knuckle joints popping, hip bones rotating hard in their sockets as it hobbled uphill home searching agates from a littered field. For its timidity, opening itself up only after the lights were out, shy lover, one button at a time. For regretted indiscretions, hunkered as it was among sculpted hedges, peeking through, jelly jar poised for some errant firefly, sensing that sometimes lives, once challenged, discover better focus, singing new and clearer songs. For its inconsistent confidence, wanting at times to step away from the shadows, crawling from its corner, returning back inside the dulled lead end of a pencil. And mostly for its guilt, weeping softly for words reconsidered, through no fault of their own, erased because they did not seem to fit the sentence just right. The poem remains, shadowed, taking stock, breathing forward, sensing, between the lines, a slight shifting of the sun. Thank you.
That was beautiful.
Thanks.
I know it sounds strange to me. When I think about it, it sounds strange, but one of the things I love about some poems is when a writer writes and talks about writing. I know that it might seem kind of redundant, but I don't know. It's like you're painting a picture, and I see that much more clearly than I do with some other stories.
I've heard both sides of that equation. Some people really appreciate poems about poetry. Some don't. And so, I mean, at times I do.
Yeah.
And that just seemed to be one of those times. So.
But that poem to me didn't sound necessarily just about poetry. It sounded all about writing and just putting your thoughts and your, for me, connecting your brain to your hand to write. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. So what was the name of your poem?
It's just In a Far Corner of the Room.
In a Far Corner of the Room.
It's just the part of the first line, so.
That is another thing I like about a lot of your poems is you have the longest titles. I think that's amazing. I'm like, wow, I try to shorten it. I can't shorten it. It's like one big, I don't know, cloud full of ideas. I really like that.
Sure.
I really like that. So I'm going to give us a little break for us to relax our vocal cords just a little bit. And I'm going to play a little music. And we'll be right back with Telling Tells with Ms. G and my guests Bill Merck and Nathan Block here at 104.3 KTOO in Juneau, Alaska.
Thank you.
This is Telling Tales with Ms. G tonight here at KTO 104.3. We have a special show where I am hosting and have guests in my studio, Mr. Nathan Block and Mr. Bill Mark, and they are here doing their poetry that they're going to be doing, well, all their lives. But we have a special program that is Mr. Bill Mark is going to tell us all about right now.
Well, again, thank you so much for having us on here. You and Katie Bosler and Jeff Brown, everybody, Shauna Strasser, you guys are so supportive of what Wishkanade is doing. We really try to get the word out to the community. You guys are, we couldn't do it without you. So, again, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Would like to invite you, I know we've already done this formally, want to invite you to the event Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
It is our January slam, sorry, our December slam. It's being held downtown. It's the third Friday of every month. It's December 20th. We're holding it down on at 209 Seward Street this month, which is where Abe Wiley's artwork is hanging right now. And I don't know what the name of that building is, Nathan. Do you know what that building is actually?
Is that where the canvas is?
It's not the canvas. It's up the street. It's like across the street from Zephyr.
Oh, okay.
If you're ever walking up the street and see some cool art and get memorized, that's the building.
It's a free, yeah. He's got some fabulous art. Was that you opened up his show first Friday, Gallery Walk?
That's right. It's near Urban Eskimo.
Right.
Right. Okay.
So we're going to be in that space.
Mm-hmm.
Abe's art is going to be up there. We've got a DJ. DJ Judo is going to be working with us this month.
Oh, wow.
DJ Manu, I think, has something else going on, or who usually works with us. But DJ Judo is going to be helping us out. It's going to be hosted by Mike Christensen and Craig Scaffelstadt. Very excited about that. I think that's just going to be a fabulous pairing. I think that's
definitely
going to be great. So we're going to have the event. Sign up at 6:30. We'll do an open mic. Most folks, I think, who listen to poetry or are aware of spoken word in this community know how the show usually operates. The first half is open mic, then we take a break, then we have the competitive portion of the show.
Right.
I won't go into all those details.
Yeah.
Most folks know that.
Yeah.
But we're going to start at 6:30. We're going to have the event. Following the event, since the theme is tribute, one of the motivating factors behind our putting the show together this month is to pay tribute to the community, to folks here at K2 who really support us, DJ Manu, all the vendors who help us out every month, all the writers, all the readers, all the folks who come to partake and really seem to enjoy the presentation, folks at the library, you know.
Right.
All these folks have been invited. We're going to put together some food and drink afterwards. Want everybody to come out. We'll have some pizza, and I don't know what else we're going to have yet. We're still putting together the food list.
Right.
But it's a great venue. We'll have the poetry. We'll have the art. Then we'll hope people stay, get to meet the poets. We get to meet the audience and just have some food and just talk about community, diversity, poetry, whatever your heart desires.
That's wonderful. That sounds awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Very much looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I know Nathan's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Again, Mike and Craig should be fabulous hosts.
Mm-hmm.
Really looking forward to it. So I hope to see everybody there.
Well, great. Yay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hope to see you there.
Oh, yeah. I'll be there. Okay. Well, that's wonderful. And during our break, one of the things that you reminded me of is I also am doing a radio show on Thursday on the KRNN 102.7 station, and I'm having one of the poets, Jackie Boucher, is going to be on that show. And I've had her on the show before. And that was during the week of the Grand Slam.
That's correct. Yeah,
and so I'm excited to have her back, and she's supposed to be bringing some friends, so we'll see. But, so I'm excited to have her, and we're just going to be doing poetry all week. It's going to be awesome.
Sounds fabulous. Sounds fabulous.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, as we were saying, the theme is tribute, and one of the things that I had asked you guys about was talking about or bringing a poem of someone who inspired you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to end the show with a poem by Iyanla Van Zandt, who inspired me, still inspires me, and I wanted to hear from you, if you take a minute, to give me something. I'm pointing at Nathan. To talk to me a little bit before you pay
first.
Before you pay your next poem, Fool's Poem is what it's called, about who inspired you.
Well, growing up, I was horribly obsessed with Jim Morrison and his poetry, and I read everything that he ever did. I would read the lyrics of all the songs, and one day I just kind of gave up on it. I just, whatever, Jim Morrison, he doesn't know what he's talking about. he's crazy. And then I just kind of drifted on and kept reading, and then I got into a lot of Bukowski and a lot of Burroughs, and just took off from there. That's kind of what happened. And then one day I saw Slam by Saul Williams, and that was it. I was hooked.
Wow.
Absolutely fell in love with the poetry scene.
Wow. And unfortunately, we can't do a poem by Mr. Saul Williams because he's he is raw.
Yeah.
but awesome. But so
yeah.
Look him up. Read him. He's raw. He's awesome. But yeah.
I mean, he's got a couple lines out there that are appropriate. Like,
yeah, a couple lines in one large poem.
Yeah, like the part where it was Uncle Ben and Aunt Jemima in the corner pointing guns at the children. I say, don't shoot the children, don't shoot the children. But it's too late, and then you got to stop.
It gets real from there.
It's one of my favorite poems.
Yeah.
By him.
Okay, well, we're going to play one of my favorite poems by you. Fool's Poem. I won't say more about this because I don't want to color it in any way. Just listen. It's
awesome. I almost
want
to perform it live just because we're here and you guys are all like motivating me for memorization.
Yeah, that's not what he said yesterday.
And then I'll mess up after the group. I get so nervous.
No, you're doing fine. You're doing great. I'm going to go ahead and play it, and then we're going to hear from Mr. Bill about who he wants to play tribute to.
Sure.
Okay, here is Fool's Poem by Nathan Block.
A fool's poem. Theorizing conspiracies, idolizing monstrosities, the madman behind the scene can now be seen within this delusional dream. The populace's foolishly followed theme, mouth-foaming bloodthirsty fiends making thieves out of the mind's green tree, while governed men hold justice's golden key directing one's possibilities. Locked up penitentiaries, locked up centuries. We have to break free from these forced mentalities. Are you ready to perceive that you have the ability to see a piece of peace? A plane stained on the untamed is the upper class's bad day, realizing they were tricked into the slave trade. 99.9% some say this estimation duped by fame, no need for shame, they know what happens to the lame, leading zombies astray back to the grave. To hell with this megalomaniac game they play, making addicts take the blame when they are one and the same, a spiritual drain, I won't let it drive me insane because I can see a piece of peace. We don't need to idolize money. We don't need to idolize MTV. Step into the forest. Inhale revelations, exhale inspiration. Sit next to a tree. Achieve enlightenment in all the dimensions of immortality. Break free from their grip of greed, full of atrocities, hypocrisies, and fake responsibilities. We have to outrun this way of thinking like a thoroughbred steed, out in the lead, a qualitative breed full of selfless deeds. Together we will climb back into the cave where our brothers and sisters we shall set free because we have the ability to see a piece of peace. Shout out to Royal Hayes. Sin has our head on a swivel. We are no longer tightrope walking under dreamless nights, over fear-filled heights, past endless sights. We entered this fight and with all of our might knocked over the TV and disarmed it of its single-edged knife. We plant seeds of imagination when the feeling's right, when the season's ripe. With our poetic hype, we open their eyes to a brand new bright light, and with a piece of peace held in our heart so tight, we step back and dissolve into the night.
Wow. That was Mr. Nathan Block, and that was Fool's Poem.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. I really like that poem. Yes. I keep telling him he needs to put it to music. I think Lauryn Hill would love it.
Yeah.
Mr. Bill Work, we want to hear from you about who you would pay tribute to.
Well, Nathan Block would be one right now. I have a hard time sitting still just listening to that.
Yeah.
The passion that you bring to your presentation is fabulous, and I really appreciate that.
Awesome.
I've seen you read live many times, and I think the audience, they're missing something if they haven't seen you perform, honestly. For me, when I started finding people that really impacted the way I wanted to read, the way I wanted to live, I started out reading a lot of Kerouac in high school, for good or bad. took me places I shouldn't have gone and probably won't go again. But at the time, it was perfect. It was great. And that led into the beat poets, which led into the old Chinese poets, Japanese poets, Robert Bly, Richard Hugo, the gentleman I just started reading, John Gallagher. It just, one seems to dovetail into the next. You know, I went through the existential poets. I mean, every group or every poet that you read is going to give you a little bit of something.
Yes.
So I think the inspiration for me more comes more from just the body of work, not any one particular person that I can grab onto.
Right.
But I tend to find something great wherever, you know, wherever the inspiration is.
That's what literature is, and I think that's awesome. That's great. Wow. I have had so much fun with you guys, and they have egged me on that I really have to read this poem. I've read it once on the air. It is a poem, actually, by Jemima L. Van Zandt, but it's in the book One Day My Soul Just Opened Up by Iyanla Van Zandt. Jemima was her daughter who passed away at the age of 28 from cancer. Mm. And I found this poem about 6 months after my mother passed away from cancer. And it really helped me, really opened my eyes. One day my soul just opened up and things started happening, things I can't explain. I mean, I cried and cried like never before. I cried tears of 10,000 mothers. I couldn't even feel anything because I cried till I was numb. One day my soul just opened up. I felt this overwhelming pride. What I was proud of, God only knows. Like the pride of 100,000 fathers basking in the glory of their newborn sons, I was grinning from ear to ear. One day my soul just opened up. I started laughing, and I laughed for what seemed like forever. Wasn't nothing particularly funny going on, but I laughed anyhow. I laughed the joy of a million children playing in the mud. I laughed till my sides ached. Oh, God, it felt so good. One day my soul just opened up. There were revelations, annihilations, and resolutions, feelings of doubt and betrayal, vengeance and forgiveness. Memories of things I'd seen and done before, of places I'd been, although I didn't know when. There were lives I'd lived, people I'd loved, battles I'd fought, victories I'd won, and wars I'd lost. One day, my soul just opened up and outpoured all the things I'd been hiding and denying and living through that had just happened moments before. One day my soul just opened up and I decided I was good and ready. I was good and ready to surrender my life to whatever God brought me. So with my soul wide open, I sat down, wrote her a note, and told her so. That's One Day My Soul Just Opened Up by Jemima and Iyanla Van Zandt.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. You guys are inspiring. This has been Tally Tales with Ms. G, with Bill Merck and Nathan Block, two of Juno's finest poets, and we get to hear them live December 20th, this Friday, at the Tribute Poetry Slam. So check it out. Good night.
See everybody there. Thank you
so much.
Hey!
Making itself accessible. I think that...